Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy Thursday to you. Well, I had one of those once-in-a-lifetime experiences recently. I had the privilege of interviewing New York Times bestselling author and Bible teacher Beth Moore. And as you can imagine, her full schedule doesn't allow her to do very many radio interviews, but she recently released a new book, and this one is a novel, a work of fiction. So she was happy to give us some time to talk about this new endeavor. A couple things before we play this interview. I went back and I listened to my conversation with her, and I must say I sound downright happy dumb at the very beginning of this conversation. I was like giddy, and it was obnoxious. So I pray you can just sort of get past, now that I've told you about it, you're really going to notice it, but just kind of get past it because what she has to say is so great. Also, my interview with Beth went about 30 minutes. So you're going to hear this conversation over the course of this hour. We broke it into four different parts and just sort of identified some themes in each of these sections of the interviews. The reason I wanted to do that is because I wanted to devote a whole show to Beth's content. It's so good, but I want to include you as well. This is a call-driven show. So a couple things first, okay? First of all, we've got five copies. This is a thick hardcover novel by Beth, The Undoing of St. Silvanus. And I marvel, as a writer, I love to read novels. That's sort of my getaway. Love it. But I write nonfiction. She writes Bible studies. I have a lot of fiction friends, fiction author friends, and that's a whole different animal. No small task to cross over and suddenly take your swing at fiction, but she knocked it out of the park. It's fantastic. I absolutely loved this book. This is a big, thick book, five copies we're going to get into your hands, and the way we're doing it is the drawing way, right? Susie at myfaithradio.com. Put Beth Moore. That's probably easier than remembering the title. And don't forget your mailing address, because I don't have time to chase you down to get your mailing address. On your mark, get set, go. Email me, Susie at myfaithradio.com. But also, after we play each clip, I'm going to have a question for you about your own history, about your own testimony. And so the phone lines will be open. And I came in studio with a big stack of amazing books by Jeremy Camp, Angie Smith, Ted Cunningham, Sheridan Voysey, Caroline Barnett, Jeff Mannion, Sheila Walsh, Max Lucado, just to name a few, John Ortberg. So I really want to hear from you as you talk about, and just want you to think about this as a, just to kind of set you up. I want you to think about ways that God has redeemed your story. Maybe generational sins that have been in past generations that have stopped with you. Ways that God has just redeemed your story in a way that your kids aren't going to know maybe what you knew at one point. And just want you to be thinking about the ways God has helped you to break free, because that really is just a landmark message for Beth and everything that she does. So before I waste another moment, let me tell you about her, give her a proper introduction, and then we'll hear the first clip where I ask her what compelled her to tackle fiction. That's no small task. Beth Moore has written many best-selling books and is a dynamic teacher and prolific Bible study author whose public speaking engagements take her across the U.S. to challenge tens of thousands of women. Beth is focused on teaching women all over the world and is known and respected wherever she goes. She's a dedicated wife and mother of two adult daughters, lives in Houston, Texas, where she leads Living Proof Ministries, teaches an adult Sunday school class, and she's a New York Times best-selling author. So here's my welcome. Remember, I sound happy dumb. Let's just get past that and pretend it's not there. Let's listen. Dear Beth Moore, thank you so much for joining us today. Can't even tell you what an honor it is to have you on the show today.
I have looked so forward to this, Susie. I love what you do.
Wow. Well, I'm super excited about your novel, and I can't even wait to find out how it was that God inspired you to jump lanes, to go from nonfiction to fiction. But before we get there, we love to start out every show talking scripture. And boy, if I know someone who's woman of the word, you are. Is there a verse just in your personal walk of faith that the Lord's been speaking about these days?
You know, I was just in Joshua chapter 1, in the last 48 hours, as fresh as if it had been written this morning. Don't you love that? Mm. There's just nothing like when the word that we've had on the page for so many centuries just jumps off and right in to our path. And Susie, I'm just going to be completely vulnerable with you, because I think that this is what so many of our listeners need to hear. They need to understand that, man, we are also dealing with our fears and our self-doubts and all the things that harass most of us. And just with all of this coming out, and with just taking a deep breath and thinking, here we go, and knowing that, boy, that book was about to hit the shelf, and just to have the courage enough to go into this new genre, I really had to have a fresh word of do not be afraid. You just have to have that. My scripture memory time has been coming out of the book of Ephesians, so my head is around that continually. But just 48 hours ago, God let that word out of Joshua 1 just land fresh on me, that just do not be terrified, do not be afraid, just stand with confidence on this little piece of ground that he's giving me. And, you know, it's thrilling. I'm super excited and loved doing it so much. But it's just, I think every time a book hits a shelf is intimidating, but especially when you're just doing something that is altogether different in genre, not in goal. The goal is very much the same, but it certainly is a new way to write.
You know, I see a very real connection between your Joshua verse and the whole book of Ephesians when you think about it, because to me, Ephesians is so much about the love of God and then how to stand in battle with the weapons of our warfare. Yes. And perfect love casts out fear, and you raise that shield. And boy, I love that. And we talked off the air, and I can't wait for you to answer this, because, you know, I'm a nonfiction writer, and I've got lots of fiction writing friends, and I get lost in story. That's where I go to relax, and I think you probably do too. But it is no small thing to jump from nonfiction to fiction. It's a whole different animal. So I want you to just share how that idea first came into your heart and how it evolved for you.
I'd love to, because this is just even a fun story for me to talk about and just recall and smile over with the Lord, because he just fascinates me in his ways, because truly each of us walking with him are able to look back over our shoulder and think, do you waste nothing, Lord? Honestly, do you waste nothing? When I think about him picking up all the baskets of the leftovers of the loaves and fishes, and that he had them, that it's not just strewn out there. He had it all picked up and put back in those baskets. And I just think, isn't that how he is? He just doesn't waste anything. And as a child, I was very, very fascinated with writing, and I would make up stories, and I made up my own cursive. I would think that I was writing out the story on these big chief tablets, and I loved that. I loved movies growing up. It's what my father did. After he retired from the military, he began managing movie theaters, so I was raised on story. My mother was a big reader, nonfiction and fiction, and I've always been like you, Susie, that, you know, I work hard, just like you do. I'm a nonfiction writer, and so I always have some kind of nonfiction book and some kind of fiction book going most of the time. But this little thing has been in there. It's not like I never knew it was there, but I never imagined that God would really grant me the margin of time that it would be his will to set aside the hours and days and what would have collectively been months to actually do it. So what I've lived out this length of time is I've done it in smaller ways. Like, oh, I would do creative writing sometimes in the Bible studies. I would say to the women, okay, I just want to imagine with you, maybe this was what it was like for Mary, the mother of Jesus. Maybe this was what it was like for the beloved disciple when he was on that that island. And I would just say, just the next couple of minutes, I just want to see, can we imagine what it was like? And so I might share a creative writing here and there. I've always done it on the side, but this time it was just like, go with it. And I do the same thing you do, Susie, and so many of our sisters do that are really serious about Jesus. I don't want to waste time not doing his will. Hmm. And so when this first started seeding in my heart nearly 4 years ago, I was like, Lord, if I'm making something up, I don't want to do it. If I'm thinking that this is if I'm off track here and this is not your will for me, then get this storyline out of my head. And I only had the very beginning of it. But there just would be this next few minutes, and I just write a couple more paragraphs. Susie, honestly, I didn't even I told one person. And the only reason I told her is because she was the first one that said, have you ever thought about it? Beyond that, I did not tell my husband. I did not tell my daughter. I thought people would think I was nuts. But while I was writing, ending one Bible study and writing two more, this was what I was just sort of doing. I would get a little margin of time, and I would just write. And I want to tell this part because this makes me grin. I don't know if I can say this in a way that maybe somebody who's done the Bible studies will smile over, but I hope so. When you do curriculum, and that's my passion. That's what I hope to do until the Lord takes me home. But that is to get women in Bible study. When you do curriculum, it's got a tight restraint to it. There is a form of writing you're using, exactly X amount of words in every single lesson. It has to come to a total of X amount of words for every week of Bible study. There's X amount of time. I can tell a story, but I better tell it quick because it's got to land back in on, of course, the verse that we're studying. So I think part of it was that in the tight restraints of curriculum, there was this, at my elbow over here, there was this creative writing that was going on that kind of just let the calf out of her very loved stall. I love curriculum. But there was this creative writer over there to the left that just wanted to go set me free. Mm-hmm. Let it go. And I don't know that I ever thought it would ever finish, but lo and behold.
Isn't that great? You can hear the giddiness in her voice. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. That's Beth Moore talking about the process of just kind of letting a dream come to surface. So here's my question for you. Remember, I've got a 30-minute interview that we're taking in pieces during this hour because I want to apply it to you. Is there a niggling dream in your heart that you've stuffed and stuffed, but it's not going away? I want you to call in. I dare you to call in and tell me about it. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Anybody who gets on the air today with these different questions, I've got a stack of great books. I'm going to pick one that best matches you. I'm going to tell you a really, really quick story, then we're going to go to break. But there was a woman who told me she felt led to write a book, and everybody confirmed it in her life, her pastor, her parents, her husband, her kids. And as soon as the confirmation came, joy filled her heart, and then fear did, and she kept stuffing it down. But she got more and more miserable. And everybody's like, write the book, and she wouldn't do it, and she got more crabby. One day, she's writing, driving in her car, and she's so mad, and a car pulls in front of her and slows down, and she calls 911. First, she tells God, this is why I can't write this book, because people like this are doing this to me. She calls 911 and says, someone slowed down in front of me. They said, okay, what's the license plate number? She squints and reads it, and the license plate says, yes, you can. And then it speeds away. The car speeds away. And she says to the 911 person, hey, never mind. God was telling her, yes, you can. Now just do it. How about you? Is there a dream? Give me a call and tell me about it. 877-933-2484. And we'll be back in a minute. Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Suzy Larson. This is The Promise. So honored to have as my guest Beth Moore. We pre-recorded a half-hour interview with her. We broke it up into four sections, and I just want to hear from you. In fact, their generous publisher, Best Generous Publishers, offered five copies. This is a thick hardcover novel, and it's fantastic. I'm pages away from being done. We're doing that giveaway this way. You email me, Suzy@myfaithradio.com, Suzy with an S. Don't forget your mailing address. I saw a number of emails come in without a mailing address. I don't have time to chase down your address, but we'll draw five names and you'll get a copy of Best Book. Great fall weather reading, don't you think? Well, this next clip, I asked Beth about the storyline of the novel and just some of the takeaway, and let's hear what she has to say. For those who are so curious, as much as you're able, Beth, without giving away the story, give us the storyline of the undoing of St. Sylvanus, if you would.
I'd love to. What I will do so that I can keep it in bits and pieces so that it doesn't come together too much and spoil anything, let me tell you some of the major conflicts in it and some of the major concepts. And it is about a family that has fractured and gone such different directions that not only do they not, you know, sometimes we'll say, well, I don't really like my family member or my extended family member, but I love them. You know how we'll say that sometimes just out, you're just casually just laughing about the difference between liking and loving. Well, no, these people did not like each other, nor did they love each other. These were people that had gone their separate directions early on over a conflict, and it's them finding by way of a death that they are back under the same roof again, and all the pain that has been involved and all the misunderstanding and just all the trauma that has gone with it. It surrounds a story of addiction and brokenness and defeat. And some of these concepts, although it's not my story and no one in the story, I expected that it would kind of mirror some things and some people that I love and know. But, you know, as I started doing it, they sort of went off their own direction and formed their own personalities and kind of insisted on their own way. So, see, it was a ton of fun. Mm. God only knows if I'll ever get a chance to do it and have that margin again. But I tell you, I don't regret having had this privilege. It was fun.
Well, you're really starting to sound like a true fiction writer, because most of my fiction friends will say, you know, they just took on a life of their own. And, you know, I mean, one of them, she was writing about her, one of her characters having a baby, and so she had a baby shower. And I'm like, okay, now you're bordering on. Let's talk about that a little bit. So, but I think you and I have some similar hardships from our past, and it is amazing when you think about how easy it is to believe the lie that you can and should stay stuck. In other words, it's not possible to break free. And yet you know this, and it's a platform of your message. It is possible to break free. I'd love for you to give just your hope and your dream for the takeaway for this story. I mean, it's again, it's the same goal. It's just a different lane. What are you hoping and praying will happen for your readers as they go through this story?
I'm hoping so much they will be reminded that God is pursuing us, Suzy. He's pursuing us. In this storyline, he really comes for them. You know, you think, well, if everybody has to be looking. But, well, yes, that is often how it is, that whatever may happen has caused somebody's knees to hit the ground and their chin to go up. That we want to do that as fast as possible. That's what you and I and so many of our listeners know to do, that have gotten time with them and know that this is the way it works, that the faster you drop on your knees, the faster you cry out to God, then the faster he's coming to the rescue. But what's also astounding about God is sometimes he has just flat out sought us out. And I mean, when we are the least deserving, when it seems like this mess of people deserve one another. And that's in many points you might think with this whole community of people, you know what, you several people, you all deserve one another. This is what you get. But here is God pursuing them and showing them that even on the other side of this this tragedy and this trauma. He has this way, this path that is going to lead them to find him where they least expect him. And I also would want to speak into somebody, because I know this. I know this from personal experience. My family of origin had so much brokenness and so many reasons to be fractured and maybe never find our way back together. But the beauty of Jesus is just the pure hope of reconciliation, not only with him, but when we are reconciled to God through Christ, that reconciliation starts feeding into areas of our lives. There could be somebody that reads that maybe has not spoken to a loved one, maybe a sibling, maybe a daughter-in-law, an ex-daughter-in-law, somebody that they have been close to. Years have gone by. You do not yet know that God does not have something wonderful to do right there, some kind of merciful reconciliation where the value of a life and a relationship that means something to you comes back together again. And I just hope they are reminded that there is no impossible situation, that's where his glory is most beautifully displayed, is right there where you think this mess does not attract anything but more destruction.
Right in that place where you think there is no way, God can make a way. So here's my question for you. How has God done that for you? How has he woven himself into your story and brought redemption? Or maybe the question is, how can we pray for you so that he does? Maybe you're seeing a dead end place and you want to see redemption. If you want to call anonymously, you sure can do that. 877-933-2484. I know you're not used to calling that much because we don't always open the phone lines. I should say not very often on the show, but I really love to know, how has God redeemed your story where you think, if not for him, this is where I would be. You know, I once was lost, now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. If not for Jesus, maybe you would be a raging alcoholic. Maybe you would be homeless. Maybe you would be, in the ditch, and you really feel like God saved you. I want to know, well, how has God redeemed your life? Or maybe you are in the ditch. Maybe you are a raging alcoholic. Maybe you're in a troubled marriage and you want to call anonymously and we can pray for you. I'd love to do that. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We're devoting this whole hour to my half hour conversation with Beth Moore. She almost never is able to do radio interviews. So honored to get that time with her. We broke the interview up into four sections. When we come back, we'll hear more about what she has to say about freedom, about breaking free, about holy tenacity. You know, Beth, it's just absolutely amazing. We've got five copies of her thick hardcover brand new novel, The Undoing of Saint Silvanus, and we're giving those away via email, by a drawing. So you just email me, Susie with an S, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And I've got a lot of emails coming in. A number of them have come in without mailing addresses, and I don't have time to chase down your mailing address. So only the ones that come in with an address actually will go in the drawing, because that's the ones who can win, right? Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name, mailing address, put Beth Moore in that subject line, and we will be back in a minute. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. I was honored, I think it was about a week ago, to interview Beth Moore, New York Times bestselling author, Bible study teacher, humble, gracious woman of God. Love, love this woman. And she's got a brand new novel, actually. She's a nonfiction writer. She took her swing at writing fiction, and she did a fantastic job. The title of her novel, it's a big, thick, hardcover book, called The Undoing of St. Sylvanus. We've got 5 copies, and we're giving those away by drawing through email, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. We're breaking up the interview with Beth into segments. We're going to play the third segment in a moment. But I pitch for calls wanting to know how has either God redeemed your story or how do you want him to redeem your story? Anonymous caller called in and said she's been redeemed from a life of infidelity before she was a believer. She's in a Bible study with her friends. Oh, wow. They're doing my book, Your Powerful Prayers. Wow. Well, may the Lord continue to show you his heart for you and show you that you're clean and pure and beautiful in his sight. And boy, the plans he has for you, you dear one. All right. Now we've got Cassandra checking in. Hey, Cassandra, what is the Lord redeeming in your life? What is he teaching you?
He's taught me that it's not about him bringing you, moving the problem out of your way, that your strength comes from him dealing with you through your problems. And I've been born and raised in church, abusive background, abusive drugs, and I'm 51 years old, and I'm here to say that even though I didn't fully understand he doesn't move your mountains, he gives you strength to go through your mountains. So I just wanted to say that if you would pray for me and my family, that we continue to learn more and to be able to endure those mountains instead of moving those mountains out of the way, because it makes you much stronger when you go through them than to just go over them.
Wow. It is so true, Cassandra. Sometimes he puts them under our feet, and sometimes he does move them into the sea. But those ones that we have to climb are the ones that condition us. I got 2 different books I want to throw your way. See which one sounds better to you. Max Lucado's You'll Get Through This or Sheila Walsh's God Loves Broken People. Which would you prefer?
You can go through this.
All right, so you get Max's book, so I'm writing that down. So when we hang up, make sure you get, before when we're done, give Aaron your mailing address so we can get that through you, okay, through to you. Well, Father, I pray for my dear sister, Cassandra, and I thank you for what you've delivered her from already. I thank you for the plan to redeem her story. I thank you for your commitment to her, Lord. I pray that you'd put a fresh wind in her sails. Lord, you say when we wait on you, we find new strength, a new power that we've not known before. We run and we're not weary. We walk and we're not faint. And as we wait, we rise up as wings on eagles and we defy gravity. And I just pray that as Cassandra's put these mountains under her feet, she would also experience the miracle of mountains that are moved into the sea and waters that are parted before her, Lord, and provision that comes seemingly out of nowhere. Would you continue to surround her with your favor, Lord, as with a shield? Thank you for her story, that you're not finished yet. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Yeah, God bless you. You're going to get Max's book. You'll get through this. So this next clip from Beth Moore is on more on freedom and on breaking free. And I just love the passionate way she talks. If you want in on the drawing for her brand new novel, The Undoing of St. Sylvanus, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. Let's listen in now. And we're really not capable of loving others well until we find out about the value of our own soul, that we invite Jesus to heal, right?
That's exactly right. That's why I love to remind women, listen, if you're the only one doing the work of freedom in Christ, never think for a second that that does not have profound effect. The beautiful thing, Susie, and I bet you have seen this and experienced this, is that even though destructiveness is contagious in a family, defeat is very contagious, but you know what? So is liberty.
Yeah.
So is victory. When people start getting set free, if they'll live it, not just say it all the time, but demonstrate it through their joy, through some fruitfulness, through some time spent where it becomes obvious that they're not in the same strongholds that used to keep them in such bondage. Let me tell you, that testifies. And God, it just takes one person under a roof who decides, I'm going to let Jesus do this thing with me. I don't know what's going to happen with the rest of the family. I've had so many people tell me, it's too late. It's too late. You know what? You see what Jesus would do in you. You cannot make them run to Jesus, but you can. You can. And the testimony of what he's going to do in your life from them just bearing witness can be so powerful. One right after another starts giving their heart to Jesus. And it's just, a miracle. I, you know, Susie, there's something else I want to say before we change the subject. Keith and I talk about this all the time, that we look at our daughters. Keith and I were so broken and came from such such heartache and trauma. I come from a background of molestation and tremendous instability and, oh, just a ton of dysfunction. And Keith came from tragedy and trauma and loss. He had just a terrible tragedy in his family when he was a little boy that led to the death of his brother. And we were so messed up, which is why we attracted one another. You know, honestly, at a college campus, it had to have been, we were both looking for the person that we were, A, you know, somehow attracted to, B, that had the same amount of baggage as we did, and we found each other. But we would have told you it would have taken generations for that our children might have been a little bit better off than us, and maybe their children a little better off than them, if we'd really pray hard and ask God to do the work. But you know what, Susie? Our children are dramatically different than we are.
You know,
they're flawed like their parents, but they have already so outdone us. I want somebody getting some hope that you think, oh, it'll take forever for this big ship of this family to ever turn. This is, you know, this, there's just no way. This will take generation after generation. You know, I just beg to differ. He's so faithful.
Yeah.
And he starts showing you fruit early in enough for us to have hope that he who has done a good work in us loves everybody around us just as much.
Boy, that's so goodness. I'm listening to you talk. I'm thinking of Psalm 77. This starts out, I think it's 77, but it starts out with just such lament. Where are you? Have you forgotten me forever? But then he reminds himself of the past wonders of God. And sometimes we just need to do that. And I'm thinking of another verse too, Beth, as you're talking. Psalm 51:6, it says, you desire truth in my inmost being.
Not
and in those hidden
thought.
Places, yes, you'll make me know wisdom.
Yeah.
And for me to walk through some of the brokenness, God really just showed me that the reason I want truth in your inmost being is that's because that's where lies go to hide. And when truth gets in there, suddenly you have wisdom and credibility where you had brokenness and dysfunction. And so it isn't just enough to maybe parrot something that you don't own for yourself. You are a walking testimony to that passage, don't you think? That truth got in where lies were hiding, and it's bearing fruit. You're not bearing fruit, but it's Christ in you is bearing fruit by your very abiding life.
Oh, Susie, you're talking my language. I'm sitting in a car doing this interview right now, and if I were not, I'd have to stand up. So there's just some truths you have to stand up to.
Amen, amen.
And I feel that way about that exact verse because I lived the difference. I lived it. I have a before and after based on that very verse, because let me tell you something. I was raised in church. I wanted to be a good girl in the worst way. I wanted to be godly. I wanted to do the right thing. And I just kept circling back into the ditch. I just had this pattern that I lived over and over again. And I would just, you know, I'd just be heart sick over my sin, beg God to forgive me, beg him to pull me out. He would pull me out so faithful. But then sooner or later, I would head right back into that thing again, because what I didn't understand is that it had never sunk all the way in. What I was attempting to do is just forget everything that had happened, but never mind how broken I was. Never mind that I had never, ever formed proper and healthy coping mechanisms. Never mind that I had no vocabulary in which the word no was present. I mean, I could not say no. If somebody pressured me enough, I was in. This was just the way I lived. But that truth had never made it all the way down in deep into my heart and into my mind. And that was the deal breaker. When I began to see that's where he's trying to get it. This is a deep work he's after. This is that he wants it to be so personal and go down in under where in the soil, down under the roots. That is when he is able to pull out what is rooted so far in there and so far into your childhood that you don't even remember life before your defeat. I do not remember life before defeat. I remember feeling, I felt ashamed of myself by the time I had any memory, Susie, any memory whatsoever.
Yeah.
So this this was the pattern.
And I, the reason I think Beth Moore's testimony is so important, because God has done it for her. He can do it for you. And maybe you're that person who have, you have no memory. Your earliest memory is one of self-loathing, self-contempt, shame. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. And when we stop running, when we stop hiding, and we stop striving, and we get before God, He is so good and so gracious. His love, that's why we're not consumed. His mercies, they never fail. I want you to get a vision. I want you to get a hope for what is possible, what God wants to do in you, so what He can do through you absolutely makes the world look up and take notice. Beth Moore just wrote a brand new novel called The Undoing of St. Sylvanus, and that's why we get her for a half hour. We're breaking up this conversation into the full hour. Her generous publisher, Tyndale, has allowed us to give five copies away of that book. So good. I'm loving it. I'm on the last pages right now. Email me if you want in the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Beth Moore in the subject line, and don't forget your mailing address. I'm going to share really quick a short story from Draw the Circle by Mark Batterson. I just think this would be, this will really inspire you. Rodney Gypsy Smith was born on the outskirts of London in 1860. He never received a formal education, yet he lectured at Harvard. Despite his humble origin, he was invited by two sitting U.S. presidents to the White House. Gypsy crisscrossed the Atlantic Ocean 45 times, preaching the gospel to millions of people, and he never preached without someone surrendering their life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Gypsy was powerfully used of God. Everywhere he went, it seemed like revival was right on his heels. But it wasn't his preaching that brought revival. It never is. Preaching may move the hearts of men, but praying moves the heart of God. And that's where revival comes from. Gypsy revealed his secret to a delegation of revival seekers who sought an audience with him. They wanted to know how they could make a difference with their lives the way he had with his. His answer was simple yet profound, as timely and timeless now as it was 100 years ago. He gave them this advice: go home, lock yourself in your room, kneel down in the middle of the floor, and with a piece of chalk, draw a circle around yourself. There on your knees, pray fervently and brokenly that God would start a revival within that chalk circle. Don't go away. When we come back, we'll play that final clip with my interview with Beth Moore. Great conversation up ahead. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. I had the honor and privilege of interviewing best-selling author, Bible teacher, gracious, godly, humble woman. I love her, Beth Moore. She's got a brand new novel out called The Undoing of St. Sylvanus, and I had a half-hour interview with her that we broke up into four pieces. This last section, I got to give a little disclaimer, and just as an author, I do interviews with hosts, you know, on my books. As a host, I'm interviewing other authors, and then I speak. So I don't always remember what stories I tell when. Well, it occurred to me last night, the particular story you're going to hear me share with Beth, I think you've heard a few times, and I'm kind of embarrassed about that. So if you can sort of get past that, get around that. I want you to hear what I asked her, the question, what it's like to be Beth, how we can pray for her. Let's listen to what Beth has to say. So we talk about God's relentless pursuit of us and this wonderful cast of characters God is pursuing. There's also, and I know this comes out in your speaking as well, but there's a gritty wrestling required of us as well. And I have just a distinct memory that God has brought back to me again and again. I just want to share it with you and have you speak to it as far as this cast of characters and even your own story. But here I think I'm 4 years old and I'm trying to get my dad's attention, and he's leaning up over the counter in the kitchen, looking out the window, tugging on his sleeve. And I'm like, Daddy, Daddy. And he wouldn't look at me. So I hopped up on the counter to see what it was that was captivating him so. And one of my older brothers was outside getting beat up by a neighborhood bully. So I changed my appeal to from wanting his attention to tugging on his sleeve, going, go help him. And my dad would not take his eyes off my brother. And he said, I'm not going to let him lose, but I have to let him fight. And I'm going to tell you, Beth, that has come up to me again and again, where there's times I'm like, Lord, why won't you rescue me? And I'll hear the whisper in my soul, I'm not going to let you lose, but I have to let you fight. And it feels like the waters will overtake you, but you somehow get through and you realize it was a necessary battle to gird us up to stand in the day that we're in. I'd love for you just to speak to that dynamic in your own life and in the book.
I'd love to do that. I could not agree more. That is a powerful story, Susie. That's a powerful story. I have, because liberty in Christ is a life message to me. When, if somebody said, what is the most important thing you would ever want to speak to, loving the Lord Jesus Christ with everything we have in us and being free in him to be the person that he has, that he predestined us to be and to fulfill our calling. But I've told so many women, listen, you will never be set free in Christ to abundant living and to the fullness of what he has ordained you to do if you don't fight the thing out, fight for your own freedom and fight. I mean, have your own, where you are on your own face, you're never going to get that by somebody else's intercessory prayer. Mm. They can help you. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and help us be delivered with your prayers. But no, it's between you and Jesus, because an intimacy has to take place there. One of the things that God has so shown me out of that paradigm in Joshua is that if I don't go in there and fight for it, that God wants to build me into a warrior, you know, and he was giving them that promised land, but they still had to go in there and fight for it because they were going to have to develop the muscle to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is us, because the thing about it is the enemy's over there on the ground that God wants to give us. So we've got to use spiritual muscle and fight the thing out and develop our prayer lives and get in God's word for ourselves in order to get over there to that land. But not only that, the enemy's going to come back for it.
Amen.
And we got to have the muscle to keep it.
Mm, boy.
So, girl, you're speaking my language.
And you mine. I mean, truly, it's not enough to just get there. God wants us to stand there and fight and win there so we can move on from that place. And
that's right.
Wow. I know you've got a book signing coming up here in a few minutes, and you're sitting in a car. Bless
just
your heart.
About to go into it.
So if I could ask you one more question before we wrap and pray. You know, people, I'm sure, from the audience can look at you and you're darling and you're talented and you're successful as much as you're able. I would love for you to share what it's like to be you, what people maybe don't know about what it's like to carry the mantle that God's assigned to, because things look so together when we've had a good shower and we can fluff our hair up, but people don't know what it's like, the battles that we fight behind the scenes. And I'm certainly not comparing the battles that I fight with what you do, but I'd love for people to get a sense.
Oh, they would be the same.
Well,
they would be the same.
I want women and men praying for you. And we have as many men listening as women. I want them to know what it's like to be you, Beth, so that we can stand with you.
I would say this on behalf of so many servant leaders. I don't think people have any idea how the enemy comes at us.
Yeah.
One of the questions I get that almost gets me tickled, it ought not be funny, but it almost gets me tickled, is when someone will say, how does a person that publishes books, like, how do you stay humble? Well, I almost want to burst out laughing because it's like, whoa. When you are out that far, you are hit so hard, criticized so hard, and even, I mean, lied about. I mean, just lied about. There's times that you look at things about that are said that you think, well, you know what, the thing about it is, that is not true.
Mm-hmm.
That's not only just out of context. That's not true. And you're just dealing with all of that. Dealing with the hurt in your own soul, but at the same time we're serving, hurts come to us, and offenses come to us, and brokenness and loss comes to us, and so you'll never waste a prayer on me, never. And I'm going to tell you what I want them to pray. This is not me being hyper spiritual here. This is what I want in the dark when nobody else is there. This is still what I would be after. I want to make it across the finish line with my face turned straight toward Jesus.
Amen.
I want to love him more than anything I can touch with my hands, see with my eyes, feel with my skin. I want
Jesus. He has been the one saving grace of my entire life, the one pure thing, the one that has never, ever let me down, never dropped me. You know, I want to make it across that finish line looking straight in the face of Jesus. That's what I want. I've told him over and over, I'm not asking you for a long life. I am asking you to get me across the finish line with my face toward yours.
Indeed.
That's what I'm asking you.
Amen.
And that's what I want. Hmm. It's a tough road, and sometimes you think, oh, Lord, today would be a great day. Come get us all. And other days, you know, I'm holding my grandbabies, and I'm looking over at my daughters, and I'm lost in their green eyes, and look over at their handsome daddy, and I think, I'm the most blessed woman on the planet. It all happening all at once.
Indeed, indeed, boy. And we've got a praying people who listen, so they are going to be praying for you. As we wrap, would you pray for us that our,
so
God, our love for the Lord and for his word would grow exponentially in the days ahead?
So happy to. Lord, I can't think of anything I'd rather pray, because this is what you have been teaching me for so many years, that if we would pray to have a heart for you, Lord, that just like pounds for you, under that a fiery passion for you, audacious love for you, Lord, if we would be obedient, because we want, Lord, we're drawn to that which desire leads us. When we got that holy desire in us, Father, we'll want to do your will. We'll want to spend time with you. We'll want, Lord, to share you, because we won't be able to keep from it. I can't even keep from telling people, Lord, about how I feel about my 11-month-old granddaughter. Mm-hmm. When my heart is caught up with you, Jesus, that I can't keep you to myself. I have to talk about you. I have to share you. And so, Father, I pray that you would give us hearts to love you and minds that are quickened by your scriptures. That we'll just love it. That it will be brilliant to us. That we're just drawn to that page. Make us what you want out of us, Lord. Give us yourself and draw us to you. Would you do it, Lord? Mm. Would you just fill us up with hope? Would you fill us up with joy? Would you remind us, Lord, we are here just a little while, and soon and very soon we will enter into our Master's happiness, and every single hurt will be redeemed in the great and glorious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Dear Beth, you are a busy gal, and that you would give us time means more to me than I can express.
Me.
Thank you.
I have been told so many times how much I would love you, and I know it's the truth.
Mm.
And I know it's the truth. Thank you for what you do, girl. You do that thing.
Indeed. And we will let you know when, we'll be in touch. God bless you. Thanks so
you
much.
You do that, Susie. Mm. Thank you so much. Love to you.
And to you. Bye-bye. This is from Streams in the Desert. Listen to this. This is for you. No desire will ever be placed in you by the Holy Spirit unless he intends to fulfill it. So let your faith rise up and soar away to claim all the land you can discover. Everything you can comprehend through faith's vision belongs to you. Look as far as you can, for it's yours. All you long to be as a Christian, all you long to do for God are within the possibilities of faith. So draw closer to him, and with your Bible open before you and your soul completely open to the power of the Spirit, allow your entire being to receive the baptism of his presence. As he opens your understanding, enabling you to see his faithfulness, believe he has so much for you. Accept for yourself all the promises of his word, all the desires he awakens within you, and all the possibilities of what you could become as a follower of Jesus Christ. All the land you see that he wants to give to you. The provision of his grace, which helps us along the way to the fulfillment of his promise, is actually tied to that inner vision that God gives us. And he who breathes heavenly hope into our hearts will not deceive us or fail us as we press forward to realize the dream that he has actually put in our hearts. I dare you to dream big with God. Open that Bible, open your heart, open your hands, and say, here am I, Lord. Do the impossible in and through me. Wow, I pray you're encouraged and challenged today. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember, if you want in on the drawing for best new novel, The Undoing of St. Sylvanus, just email me, susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember your mailing address, and remember this. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.